phone. Aleichem.
Wow. It's incredible to see everyone. And I want to thank you all, each of you, for the chance to thank all the parents and the kids for the chance to share in your nachas. Amir Tashem over the coming months, and Amir Tashem as well over the coming years, decades as well. We are off, Baruch Hashem, to an incredible start. Your sons are fantastic. Your sons are all in. Your sons and grandsons, Baruch Hashem, are all in. We're already off to a running start, learning, growing, thinking. I'm very, very excited. Very, very excited about how this year will unfold, and Amir Tashem, the relationships that we'll build over the course of the coming year that will stand us well going forward. Come on in. Make some counsel. Have a seat. There are more seats over here. So Rosh Hashanah is coming. As Rabbi Penner pointed out, davening is definitely a big part of Rosh Hashanah. I've often been very taken by a comment that made by the founding Rosh Yeshiva of Chaim Berlin, Rav Yitzchak Huttner, who is known for his sharp comments. It's in Yiddish. I'll translate, but got to give him the original. He said that when a Jew emerges from a yomtiv, the attitude can't be nish noch yomtiv avech nor noch yomtiv arayim. It can't be that it's another yomtiv gone by, went over my shoulder, it's nice in the rearview mirror. It has to be that the yomtiv went through me. That the days in the calendar continue to progress. It won't forever be Tishrei. It's going to be Cheshvan. It's going to be Kislev. It's going to be Teves. But I'll be different because the yomtiv was absorbed. And although the days in the calendar progress, a piece of Rosh Hashanah and a piece of Yom Kippur, a piece of El, a piece of Slichus remains within me and has permanently upraised me. And as we continue the upward spiral of the Jewish calendar, I'm going to come around again next year to an El and to a Tishrei, and I'll be in a different place because I've absorbed over the course of the coming year. I've absorbed the Chanukah, I've absorbed the Purim, and most immediately I will have absorbed an El of Tavshin Pei Beis and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur of Tavshin Pei Gimel. And the question is how? It's a great goal. Nachayant of Arayim. How do we do that? How do you fork one way instead of the other? And a piece of it has to do with the hachana in advance. If Cook is famous for saying in kedusha bli hachana, the real lasting kedusha is only going to come when I've prepared for it. And a part of that preparation is the learning that enables me to understand and enables me to feel more deeply. The preparation of, there are so many physical preparations that have to happen. There are meals that have to be taken care of. There are seats that have to be purchased. There are lulav and esrog that have to be bought. A lot of hands-on physical preparation needs to happen. At the same time, the pnimi preparation, the preparation of the heart and mind, needs to happen. The learning and the thinking about the ideas in advance, so when the opportunities come, I'm primed to absorb them. A big piece of that hachana has to do, I think, with thinking about davening. Let's think about davening a little bit together. For starters, Rabbi Penner was talking before about ways to, techniques, to be more connected to tefillah. The first thing he said is, add your own. Add your own words to the Shema Esrei. Make yourself comfortable. Here's a chair. Pass it down. I'm not singing because if I would sit, I might fall asleep. He was talking before about the adding the informal parts of davening. And it happened to be a great question. Because if free association question, I say tefillah, or I say davening, or I say praying, and you think what? What image comes to mind? Is it sitting and talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Is it checking the WhatsApp chat at 2 o'clock in the afternoon or at 1:30 in the morning? And the last person was up to 91, so I'm going to say Perek Tzadi Beis. And maybe whisper my own, feel my own words to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Is it going on a hike and being taken by the beauty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creation? and speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in words? Or when I say tefillah, do I think of a machzer or a sitter? Is it tefillah informal or is tefillah formal? And we sort of think, well, it's both. What does that mean? Which is tefillah? Will the real tefillah please stand up? How do you define tefillah so it includes this and that? And let's push it further. There are a lot of mitzvahs that we do in shul, not just tefillah. We lay in shul, we shake lulav in shul, we say halal in shul, we learn in shul. But how many mitzvahs do we do in the middle of Shmona Esrei itself, besides saying Shmona Esrei, which is the core of tefillah? We don't say halal in the middle of Shmona Esrei, we say it after Shmona Esrei. We don't say kriya Shmona in the middle of Shmona Esrei, we say it before Shmona Esrei. We might be wearing tefillin during Shmona Esrei. You don't put it on during Shmona Esrei. Kriyas HaTorah is afterwards. Bris Milah is afterwards. How many mitzvahs do we do during Shmona Esrei? Can you give me one or two? Tia Shofar and? Tia Shofar. Anything else?
Vidui.
Fantastic. Vidui. Shofar. And I have the schus to spend a typical summer, 6 weeks in the summer, with many of your sons, learning Eretz Yisrael. As a Kohen, so that's bittersweet, because three quarters of this mitzvah for the year I perform during 6 weeks in Eretz Yisrael. And that mitzvah is Birkas Kohanim. Those three mitzvahs we do in the middle of Shmona Esrei. Shofar, Vidui, and Birkas Kohanim. Why? Well, Birkas Kohanim is a form of tefillah. A bracha is just a tefillah worded differently, where grammatically I'm speaking to the recipient of what I'm davening for, rather than speaking to HaKadosh Baruch. Instead of saying HaKadosh Baruch Kel Nor Fan Allah, I say May HaKadosh Baruch Hu bless you, Recha Hashem. Because Kohanim belongs. Vidui, maybe for some other time, is a conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The mitzvah Vidui is when I'm in a process of change, I need to articulate that to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a conversation. To be Mitzvadeh Lefnei Hashem. And shofar. What's shofar doing there? So that's one of the Rav's many rayas, that shofar itself is a type of tefillah. It's like a primal cry. Usually I daven with words, and sometimes it's just this wordless cry to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Which sounds poetic and beautiful, and if we're going to be honest with ourselves, also a little bit incomprehensible. It's a beautiful spiritual gesture. What does it mean, wordless prayer? That's like a foodless dinner. What does that mean, wordless prayer? I thought davening is with words. So what is it? Is tefillah formal? Is tefillah informal? Can tefillah exist without words? And the Rav has many, many rayas to that yisod. This is the most accessible, is the fact that shofar is in the middle of Shmona Esrei. But what does it mean? What does that tell us about shofar, or what does that tell us about tefillah? So I want to take the next little while that we have together, b'chavrusa, with your son or grandson, or with your chaver, and then back here for shir, to begin to explore this idea together. What is tefillah? What we're going to do is we're going to jump in a moment. If you could pass these around, actually, that would be amazing. I'd love to walk around and get them correctly. That's going to be a little challenging. Feel free to take and pass. Feel free to take and pass. I hope we have enough. In a moment, we're going to find chavrusas to learn either in this room or in the Beis Medrash. We'll figure out where you're most comfortable, and we'll figure out where we have the most room. In this room and the next room also we can spread to, and to the Beis Medrash as well. To begin to explore one of the sugyas of tefillah. It's so often the case, we were talking about this last week with the chavra, and we begin to see this in the sugyas and work on Shemitah's Ksafim. That's so often the case in learning, that dealing with a question about a detail, detailed questions can lead to big vistas in the answer. So we're going to dive into a detail, which already strikes us maybe as a significant one, a detail of tefillah, specifically kavana. We're going to explore a kavana mystery. And through exploring that, through working on that question, hopefully it'll give us insight not just into Kavana and Tefillah, but into a different type of, a different perspective, a different definition of Tefillah that will hopefully solve lots of other questions as well. So here's what we're going to do. As you see in the Maror Makomos, there's plenty more I do not expect that you will with your Chavrusa, no matter how capable your Chavrusa is, you get to all of this right now, and that's totally fine. We're going to take around 15 to 20 minutes to learn B'chavrus together. We're down here instead of starting upstairs, so that within the time, the limited time that we have, we can maximize the learning and minimize the traffic and transit. Take the next 15 to 20 minutes to find the B'chavrusa. If you're here with family, a parent, a child, a grandparent, a grandchild, that's your B'chavrusa. Maybe you've already learned B'chavrus in the past, and if not, this could be the first of a new trend. For the fellows who are here without family, so even if your normal morning chavrus isn't here, we'll just make chavrusas now. Whether your family couldn't make it today or family is in a different room, visiting in a shir of a brother or in the shir of his talmidim, as the case may be, whoever is here without a family chavrusa will pair up in a moment. And we'll work together on these, to begin to explore these Maror Makomos. Specifically, fellows in the room are already used to this layout. The front page is a table of contents. Where to look? In the block print are the names of the Maror Makomos. I would draw your attention specifically to a pair of Gemaras that hopefully you'll get to. And you see in the Ksav Rashi with the bullet point, those are guiding questions to think about. You'll explore the first Gemara, Daf Lamed, and the second Gemara, Daf Lamed Dalet. And after decoding each Gemara, ask yourself how they makashalacha belimishtei gemaras halalo. What's odd? What's curious about the way these two gemaras either do or don't fit together? If you have time, you work right down to Tosas, who briefly raises a question and briefly gives an answer, and perhaps you'll see, take a peek at the way the Rambam deals with it. Everything, all the Maror Makomos are in this packet. There's a blank page in there on purpose so that the Turas Adaf is offset. So Amud Beis is on Amud Beis, and Amud Alf is on Amud Alf. Daf Lamed Amud Beis is the first page. A few pages in is Daf Lamed Dalet Amud Beis. And then the last page, the digitized page, is some of the other Maror Makomos. You have a chance to see the Rambams by all means. Alternatively, you can go with Pathway A, or you can go with Pathway B. If you want to jump straight into the heart of the issue, you can instead of Section Aleph, the pair of Rambam's Atosis, pair of Gemara's Atosis Rambam, you can skip straight to Section Beis, a Gemara in Tainus, a shorter Rambam, and a lot to think about. Both of those Maror Makomos, if you want to go Pathway B, both those Maror Makomos you'll find on the last digitized page. Everything is copied and pasted there. So we'll head right now to Chavrusa learning. Feel free to learn in this room. Feel free to learn in the next room. If you want to find spots in the Beis Medrash, feel free to do that as well. We're going to reconvene in here at 11:20. You're reconvene in here at 11:20 for Shir. I will be rotating throughout all the different spaces. Enjoy the talk. Oh, enjoy the learning. Wow. Thank you. As we left off, we jumped into Seder with two questions in mind. The question of formal versus informal tefillah, and taking a step beyond that, the question of wordless tefillah, and what do these mean? Let's add a third question that some of you just explored with Chavrusa, and that takes us back to where tefillah actually comes from. And you may have seen the position of the Rambam. Pick yourself up, so please. The position of the Rambam is that tefillah is a daily chiyuv min haTorah. We daven three times a day. Three times a day, all Rishonim agree that is a chiyuv midrabbanan. It is a chiyuv midrabbanan. The Torah doesn't require us to daven three times a day. But the Rambam is of the opinion the Torah does require us to daven every single day. Not by far, not a unanimous opinion. His most famous Bar Plukta, the Rishon who most famously disagrees with him, is the Ramban. The Ramban Ramban did not write a running commentary on the Rambam's Mishnah and Torah, but did write a running commentary on the Rambam's Sefer HaMitzvos. She wrote before and we enumerated all the 613 mitzvahs. And the Ramban there, Rambam counts it as a mitzvah number 5. It's a pretty central mitzvah, the mitzvah of Tefillah. The number 5 in the list of 248. So daven every day. And the Ramban writes at length that he disagrees. He says, Tefillah is certainly meaningful min HaTorah. Tanakh is full of descriptions of Jews davening and of non-Jews davening as well, of people davening. Tefillah obviously is a Doraisa concept, but it's not a Doraisa obligation on a regular basis. Rabban thinks that when you're in crisis, there's a chiyuv Doraisa to daven, but not every day. You can certainly daven. It's meaningful, it's impactful, but there's no Doraisa obligation to daven daily for the Rabban. Daily obligation is Pilei Midraban. The Rambam says, no, a daily obligation Minat Torah. Minat Torah means it's a pasuk. Where is the pasuk? Where does the Chumash say daven every day? No one saw? Jump in. Young or young at heart? Yeah? Lav de b'chol v'avchem. Fantastic. Where did you see that? Dvarim Yud-Alef. Dvarim Yud-Alef. Opening Amud of Maseches Tainus. Right at the beginning of Maseches Tainus, the Gemara quotes this. Sifrei. There's Medrash Halacha and Sefer Devarim. Here, if you in the packet, it's the very top of the very last page. Desanya la'avas Hashem Elokeichem ula'av d'chav b'chol levavchem. To work for God or to worship God with your entire heart. One of those phrases, avoda, avodas Hashem, is one of those phrases that recurs again and again and again throughout Sefer Devarim. Halicha b'drachav is a phrase we've been talking about in Mesilas Yesharim last week. A number of phrases, Ladav Kabo, Layira, La'avas, a number of phrases that appear, don't appear much in the first four Chumashim and appear repeatedly in Sefer Devarim. And that's one of them. What does it mean to worship Hashem with your heart? So the Gemara says, well, Ezoi Avoshi Belev, what Avod is with my heart? Have Yomar Zutfila, that must be davening. And the Rambam, as you saw, quotes it. Or if you didn't see, you can see right now. Turn back one page, and here you see the opening, the very first paragraph in the Rambam's treatment of Hilchos Tefillah. He was 15 talking on Hilchos Tefillah and related mitzvahs. The very first paragraph of the very first parak, mitzvah asei l'spalel l'chayom, mitzvah dorei sedavin every day, shenamar, as you said, avatzem Hashem lokechem. You should worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How you know that's Tefillah? It goes on to say that davening more than once a day, that's not a chiyuv d'oraisa. Specific text, not a chiyuv d'oraisa. Specific time of day or night, not a chiyuv d'oraisa. But there is a core chiyuv d'oraisa to daven once a day every day. Why? Because like you said, avodah shebelev. And with you're thinking, I've heard this all before. Can we think about it for a moment analytically? The Gemara asked a question, gave an answer. The answer was, this must refer to Tefillah. What was the question? Well, which avodah is belayed? In other words, avodah usually means maybe karbanos. But the Gemara is bothered, the Tanaim and the Sefrei were bothered. You know, avodah might mean karbanos, but not with your lave. Avodah is karbanos. But avodah shebelev, I don't use my heart to bring karbanos. What's the organ of what's the main organ used for karbanos? Your hands, specifically your right, Cohen's right hand. So avodah shebelev must be what? Tefillah. Now ask you a question. What organ do you use for tefillah? Now you say, well, it's very important to think about what you say. That's true. It's also very important to think about what you're doing to bring a karban. As a matter of fact, there's a whole Seder of Mishnayos and Gemara dedicated to Karbanos, Seder Kachim, the very first topic on the very first block of Seder Kachim is the role of Machshava in Karbanos. The first topic in Mizbachim is the fact that what you think, that Karbanos are uniquely sensitive to thought and intention, and the wrong intent, you do all the right things, but your mind's in the wrong place, the Karban is totally disqualified, severely disqualified. Pigul, Shinu Hashem, Shinu Bayil, that's the opening topic. Your mind and heart matter a lot in karbanos, but the Gemara isn't willing to accept that avodah shebelev could be a karban. Your mind and heart matter, but the primary organ of a karban is your hands. So your mind and heart matter for tefillah. The primary organ of tefillah is your mouth. Why is tefillah any better an answer than karban? How have we solved any problems? something is afoot. And the Rabban says, I don't think this is a real drasha. He doesn't think that tefillah is daraisa. This is just an asmach. But the Rambam takes this Gemara very, very seriously. This is the simple meaning of the pasuk. Avodah Shevelev means tefillah. Why? How? Why is it tefillah any more than a karma? Such a basic Gemara, the source for all tefillah, and so curious, and hopefully a productive way. Let's take a step back from section Bez of Gemara and Kavos to section Aleph. A pair of Gemaras. A pair of Gemaras that either work well or seem to be on a collision course. A Gemara that had two Prakim Masechus Brachas about tefillah. Masechus Brachas has 9 Prakim altogether. The first 3 are about Kriya Shema, and then from 6 and on are actually about what the title sounds like, Brachas. Brachas before food, benching, and so on and so forth. Prakim, the in between, the middle Prakim, Dalet and Hay, are about tefillah. We're going to take a look briefly. Let's reflect what you worked on in Seder, looking at the end of the 4th parak and the end of the 5th parak. Daf Lamana, Daf Lamadal. Both Gemaras talk about Kavana. The Rishonim point out, though, that they say things which are similar but not the same. First, Daf Lamana. Daf Lamana is the very end of Parak Tfilas HaShachar, the very end of the 4th parak. Gemara tells the story. Here we are. Rechia bar Abba Tzali v'hadar Tzali. Rechia bar Abba is the second generation Amora in Eretz Yisrael from the prime Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan. And he once came to Shul and Tzali is Aramaic for his father. He davened and then he davened again. Tfilah in the language of Chazal, the language of Mishnah and Gemara, tfilah means specifically Shmona Esrei. We use tfilah to mean davening, everything considered, but they meant specifically Shmona Esrei. So he davened Shmona Esrei, takes his 3 steps back, he steps forward, and then Talmud's again. So he had a Talmud, who was a very, very dedicated Talmud, who had made Aliyah, as a matter of fact, and came to, in order to learn Eretz Yisrael, and came to the Yeshiva of Kibbutz Abba, Rabbi Zeira. Not for now, but more to tell stories elsewhere. Rabbi Zeira had begun his career in Babel, and he became a full-fledged Amora in Babel. And then the Gemara tells there was some complicated conversation he had with his Rebbeim about leaving Babel and coming to Eretz Yisrael. Ultimately comes to Eretz Yisrael, and embraces the yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. So he's a very dedicated Talmud of his Rebbe Yechim Abba, and he's watching what his Rebbe is doing. And he's and you know, there are many stories, we had this conversation right last year, 2 weeks ago, there are countless stories of Talmud Chacham that no one knows because either no one watched or no one had the guts to ask what's happening. But here was some case situation where Talmud was watching and even had the guts to ask. So Rabbi Zeira, Amalei Rabbi Zeira, Rabbi Zeira says, "Luchia Baraba, my time of in Marachi. Why did the Rebbe do that? Why did that happen twice? And now he starts having this whole, almost a monologue with his Rebbe, a soliloquy, if you will. Eilei Mishum Dol Kivim Aradaitei. Rebbe, it can't be the most obvious explanation for why your first Shmona Esrei didn't count, and you needed to." So re-daven is, well, maybe your first master was disqualified because of lack of kavanah. That can't be. Why? Not because the lack of kavanah wouldn't disqualify. Not because lack of kavanah doesn't matter that much. Adrava, because it matters so much. A person always needs to measure himself, to self-assess. I run in late to mincha, huffing and puffing. The elevator, there was a minion in the stairwell, a minion in the 12th floor, there was a hold up in the elevator, whatever it is, a hold up and I didn't leave where I was early enough, whatever it is, I come hopping and popping 30 seconds late to Mincha. Not like the joke about the Yekka who missed Ashrei became in time to Yoshua. They erased our Shmonesra. So my natural instinct is, or maybe I did just come in time for Yoshua. I mean, I didn't have a chance to get in the zone, and everything's already rolling. Right? So my natural instinct is, jump into Shmona Esrei. Gemara says, well, stop. Don't dive into Shmona Esrei. Take 5 seconds, take a deep breath, ask myself, am I ready to focus? Malchus, or do I need to take out two deep breaths and get in the zone? That's Rabbi Lazar's advice. Not just his advice, his expectation. So Zera said, it can't be, Rebbe, that you didn't have Kavanah Dav. Kavanah Dav is so fundamental. I can't imagine. It's an interesting conversation to have with this Rebbe. Rebbe, it can be that you didn't have Kavanah. I mean, you know, really. So he says, no. Elo de la itkir mar duresh yarcha. It must be that today's Rosh Chodesh, and you didn't say Yahweh Yavah, and it was a technical foul. It was a beautiful Shema Yisrael, full of Kavanah, but you left out a key paragraph, and then the Gemara gets into a little conversation about, do you indeed after Bishma Yisrael, if you live Yahweh Yavah or not? The answer is, sometimes. Okay. So that's the second half of the important conversation for a different time. But let's focus on the Kavanah piece. The Gemara here, what does the Gemara here tell us about Kavanah? It's really critical. It's Shema Yisrael about Kavanah. How do you have Shema Yisrael about Kavanah? Then you turn, fast forward four blocks to the end of the fifth credit, that's Lama Dalad. Where the Gemara will jump in once again to the middle of the Gemara, a line after the Mishnah ends. Hamispalel, right by the little letter Dalad. Hamispalel, a Jew is davening Shmon Esrei, Sar Sheikh Havayis Libo Bekulan. You need to have Kavanah in all of them. All of them. Which? All the brachas of Shmoneh Esrei. But, Ime Yochel Lechavi Bechulan, Yechavis Libo Bachas. Rabbi Penner was discussing, Kavanah is hard, Kavanah is not easy. So the Bryce says, look, ideally you have Kavanah throughout the Shmoneh Esrei. But, it's only critical to have Kavanah in one bracha. Okay? It's a much more relaxed standard. If we stopped here, I would have understood or misunderstood. That means, pick your bracha. You got to have at least one bracha that you're in. So along the lines where I kind of talk about is the technique number one. And we should have at least one bracha that you're in for. So the Gemara says, not quite. You don't get to pick your bracha. I mean, again, ideally you have kavanah for as many as you can. But the minimum standard, Amar Bechia, Amar of Safra, Mishum Chad Debe Rebbe, Rebbe Chia quotes the name of Safra in the name of one of the Talmidim, Yudah Nasi, which is the one, the Avos. It's not just any one bracha, it's the number one bracha. The first bracha, Magen Avram, if you have Kavanah in the first bracha, then you're okay. Kavanah is ideal throughout, but only critical in the first bracha. So we have a Gemara in Daf Lamed Aleph that says Kavanah is ideal throughout Shmoneh Esrei, but not crucial throughout Shmoneh Esrei. How does that fit, how does that sit with the first Gemara in Daf Lama? What the first Gemara in Daf Lama tells about Kavanah? Critical. Absolutely crucial. Unthinkably, you would have a Shmoneh Esrei without Kavanah. So, which one is it? Is Kavanah crucial throughout Shmoneh Esrei? Or is it only crucial, ideal throughout Shmoneh Esrei, but crucial in the first Bracha? Who raises that question explicitly? Right. Tosas raises it almost explicitly. If we're careful, if you're reading between the lines, he raises as a kasha. He doesn't say Bim Tov Ve'en Shlomar, but he says, well, but that Gemara 4 blot ago, it clearly raising the problem, and immediately swooping in with an answer. What does he say? The Theratosis. It's some Marabayim used to tell me that it's the small tosis in, the long tosis in Lokar. It's the small tosis in that are the juiciest, the densest, and often the most difficult because there's a lot going on in a few words. What does he say? Yichavon Sliba Bachas, man. Okay, the third Tosas in Lamadalan Bay. I the Hajar Rimba Sof Tuf Hey, that's Tfil Sashachar, the fourth parak. Lo Yamod Adam Daitam Yachav Lachavi Yispalel. In love, Al Yispalel. The Gemara before said, the first Gemara said, Kavanah is critical through a fundamental Shmoneh Esrei. And here it's a detail. So what's Tosas' answer? Well, that too. Yesh Lefarei Shasam Nami Ba'achdin. You'll have to interpret. We got, now that we got the Daflam and Dalad, we look back at the Daflam and we can understand more precisely what we meant. What we sometimes refer to as Sasam Bahatar Kamafar. Earlier we gave a general statement, we didn't work out all the details, and now we're tightening things up. We said in Daflam that Kavanah is critical, we didn't specify, we didn't work it out, and now we, four blah later, you find it by the way, I said Kavanah is critical, but that meant specifically in the first draft. If you were Tosus, and you were writing a Sefer Halacha, code of law, and you were quoting all the Gemaras that are relevant to Halacha, and try to put everything into, as the Rambam writes, Halabavli by design is conversational. It is a conversation. And in any good conversation, all sorts of different topics come up. And things don't, in a good, healthy conversation, appear in strict logical order. You're writing a sefer halacha, you're taking all the pieces of the conversations and putting them into place to give them askanos. If you were Tosos, how many entries, how would you give the bottom line of these two gemaras? And how many entries, how many paragraphs would these be? What would you say? You were Tosos. How many dinim emerged from those two gemaras? One, and that one is? Kavana is ideal. Kavana is important for Ashram Esrei and critical in the first Rav. It would be one entry, and that's all it would say. I mentioned before the Rambam. The Rambam is famous for being, in many ways, perhaps the most methodical, the most overtly methodical of any Rishon. Rambam was not the first to write a Sefer of Halakha. He was not the first to try to put together work that would abbreviate and abridge Gemara and give them askanos l'halacha. He was coming at the end of a long line of Bavli and Sephardi, Gaonim and Rishonim, who were engaged in that type of work. Most famously, right before him, his father's Rebbe's Rebbe, his great-grand Rebbe, the Rif. But the Rambam departed from all of his predecessors in three ways. One of which, is relevant to us right now, is that he totally left behind the organization of Gemara. The Rif organizes the Inim, al Seder HaGemara. They'll cut out some of the Shaka Vatari, they'll cut out the sheet that's been passing like, but more or less, occasionally he'll move things around, but more or less he keeps the organizational scheme, the sequence of Gemara. The Rambam very intentionally left that totally behind, crafted his own organizational scheme. Everything is where it belongs. Which means that as with real estate, location, location, location is absolutely critical in Rambam. Where he puts something tells you so much about what it is. It's actually it's the first lesson that you learn about learning Rambam in the Brisker Rav Sefer on Rambam. The very first shtickle, he already points out, well, this parak is about this topic, it's got a covered Talmud Chacham, this parak is about covered Rabbo, so notice where the Rambam quotes which Gemara, you'll know is it this type of thing or that type of thing. So in Rambam, more than perhaps any other Rishon, we would have expected exactly what you just told me. One entry, it just says, Kavanah is ideal, critical in the first bracha. When you say look at the Rambam, he says, not that at all. He quotes, he talks about this twice, in Parag Dalet and in Parag Yud. And in Parag Dalet, he's talking Daf Lamed. If we had more time, we could develop this naturally. I apologize if you don't. I don't want to be sensitive to your time. Maybe with the Chevra we'll have a chance to be Mamshach this year. But let's, over the next couple of minutes, bring what we've discussed so far together in a meaningful way. You would have expected that the Rambam put all this in one place, but he doesn't. Parag Dalet, he talks about Kavanah as one of the central critical aspects of Tefillah, and he's clearly quoting in the first Rambam, the first Gemara. His Kavanah is critical throughout, and he says that Tefillah Kavanah isn't even a Tefillah, which itself is striking. Why does he have to make that programmatic essential statement if he's going to say a line later? If he didn't die, if he died without Kavanah, you've got to redo it. Why do you have to dig in more and say it's not even a tefillah at all? Interesting. And he talks about the need, as the Gemara says, Daf Lamed, to self-assess, that there are no qualifications, no limitations, it's just the first bracha. Kavana in Parag Dalet is absolutely critical. Get the Parag Yud, all of a sudden he's going the second Gemara. It's up! Should I have Kavana throughout Davin? But first bracha is good enough. The Chaim says, what's going on? Like, again, his Tosis is steer between the Gemaras, but Rambam clearly didn't accept Tosis's resolution. So apparently, the Rambam's resolution was different. Not that the second Gemara is explained the first Gemara, they're talking about two different types of Kavanah. The Reb Chaim points out, if you read the Rambam inside, here's what's most striking. When I say Kavanah, what's the best, what we all sometimes, hopefully, think about, I wish I had more Kavanah and Davi. What would more Kavanah and Davi look like? What would I be thinking about? Or what type of sitter would help me have Kavanah? So I imagine for most of us, that would be an arch scroll, a sax, a haruni, a birnbaum, whatever translation floats your boat, a desola pool for our great-grandparents, the old days of the RCA. And kavanah and tefillah means thinking what you're saying. Refa'eni, you're thinking about who needs a refuah. But if I lay, you're thinking about someone needs to hold on to the job, find a job. Kavashom, you're thinking about Mashiach. Thinking about what we're talking about. I think that's something fascinating. In the more critical type of tefillah, Eric Dallas, God doesn't say anything. He says, Ketzad hiya kavanah. What is this more critical type of kavanah? He says, you clear your mind of extraneous thoughts. You can imagine, you can visualize that you're standing in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not a word, but the words that you say, which is bizarre. Shem Chaim suggests there are two different things you could be thinking about. You have two different sets of rules. The less important one is the one we usually think about. Kavanah, what the words mean. Obviously, it's a little ridiculous to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when I think what he's talking about. But your Shema Esrei is still kosher, as long as you have at least a little bit of Kavanah's Pirush HaMilos. First bracha, that's good enough. That's the less critical Kavanah. Perek Yud in the Rambam, the second Rambam, and the second Gemara. The more critical Kavanah, which is central, essential throughout the Shema Esrei, is not what the words mean. It's a recognition that you're in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why is that more critical? Because the Rambam says in the line, because a general principle of Halakha is that an act done without any self-awareness doesn't count. If I picked a tomato on Shabbos and didn't realize I was detaching it from the ground, that's not a malacha d'oraisa. That's misaseh. It didn't realize what I'm doing, it's as though it happened on its own. What does it mean to daven and not realize that you're davening? Chaim points out, it's not when I don't think what the words mean. I said all the words. I knew I came to shul and I opened a sitter and I said Shmona Esrei. But I wasn't aware that I'm in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I know, I thought, I said the Shema Esrei. But I wasn't self-aware that I'm speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You aren't aware of that. You're not aware that you're davening. Because davening isn't saying words. Davening is being in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What we do in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is we talk there. But it's not, that's the method of tefillah. That's what, the tools of tefillah, the words that we say. But what it is sitting down for coffee with a HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sit down for coffee with someone, you don't just stare at each other. Obviously, talk about things. They think back to a relationship you forged over a cup of coffee or over a game of chess or whatever else it was. Lots, and over almost invariably conversation. Lots of times, whether it's a business relationship, a personal relationship, a lot of times, I couldn't remember a friend I met in ninth grade, and now I'm a 12th grader. Do I remember what we spoke about the first time we met? Maybe. Maybe not. Because often what was most important that first meeting wasn't the content of what we spoke about, but the vibe. Sometimes you go out, sit down for coffee with someone to talk about a business proposal, to talk about maybe working together. So sometimes what's really critical is the content. Let me hear your business plan. Does it make sense? Does it not make sense? But a lot of times what it's really about is spending time with the sense of the person. That's exactly what Chaim is saying. The essence of tefillah isn't the things that I'm saying to him. The essence of tefillah is that I am in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. That we get to sit down for coffee with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a standing date for coffee with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, 3 times a day. Of course, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're going to talk. There's a lot to talk about. And the things that we ask for reinforce the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the entire universe, and anything that we want, he's the ultimate address for. But what we say is the method. It's not the essence of what it is. And then everything we spoke about, plus many more nafkiminos, fall into place. That's why Kavanah Pirush HaMilos, it's a little bit silly to daven without thinking what the words mean, but you're still Yotze. If I'm not aware that I am davening, meaning that I'm in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence, then I'm a misasek, I haven't davened. That's what Rambam stresses. Not just technically, you got to re-daven, but kol tushay the Kavanah ain't a tefillah. That's not tefillah, unless I'm aware that I am in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. And that's why, unlike Karbanos, where Machshava is important, the primary organ of tefillah isn't my mouth. It's my heart and my mind. Because the essence of the definition of tefillah is Amidah L'fnei Hashem. It's not like Karbanos. And that's why tefillah with words, tefillah without words, formal tefillah, informal tefillah, will the real tefillah please stand up? Which one is the real tefillah? The answer is yes. Those are all ways of being in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why we can expand our Shmona Esrei in a way that we can't do for any other part of the Siddur. El Kaim Tzar is still part of my Shmona Esrei because I'm still in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I leave you now with the following challenge. From now until Yom Kippur. Now until Yom Kippur is around 2.5 weeks. Now until Yom Kippur is 2.5 weeks. We're all busy people. I imagine, though, if from now until Yom Kippur you could spare, let's say, 5 minutes. 5 minutes from now until Yom Kippur. 15 seconds a day. It goes like this. It's really so simple it sounds silly. If you try it, you might look back and admire the Motzei Yom Kippur and say, wow, that actually mattered. It goes like this. And it's not nothing fancy. It's a Gemara that we learn. Spend 5 seconds before your Shmona Esrei. 5 seconds is nothing. But we're so used to always moving, always saying, always doing, to just stop. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 seconds could feel like a lot. Before Shmona Esrei, 5 seconds per tefillah, 15 seconds a day, less than 2 minutes a week. For 5 seconds, no deep Kabbalistic Kavanos, a very simple and profound shot and Kabbalistic Kavanah, which is, I'm about to be face to face with that person. What you said, Rambam, Kavanos, Omid of Hashem, 5 seconds before every Shmona Esrei. Stop, take a deep breath, before your 3 steps, after 3 steps, before you start the first bracha, I'm about to be face to face with this bracha. The first time might be cute. It might be nice. Try it 3 times over the course of a day, 22 times over the course of a week. You can have some extra tefillahs coming up, more than 22 times over the course of a week. It could be transformative. That's what tefillah is. Samidu Pnei Hashem. Everything begins to make sense. And then a relationship can begin to take root. Thank you so much once again to all the parents and grandparents. Thank you for sharing your nachas. Enjoy the rest of the day with the kids.
Hey, what about starting?